All right, Lord God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day, right? We thank you, Lord. Thank you for getting us through this year. God, there's been some rough times, but you were always there, Lord. You were always with us, God, and we're thankful for that because, Lord, could not have made it unless I'd known in the land of the living, God, there was something better, God. There's something better waiting for us, God, and I just thank you for encouragement. I thank you, Lord, you said if we faint not, we will see a great harvest. So, Lord, we haven't fainted. We're still standing. Our eyes are still open. Lord, minister to us, Holy Spirit. Minister to us healing. Minister to us health. Minister to us salvation, God. Deliverance, whatever the needs are here today, I pray every need would be met. And Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us, God. If one person needs to hear one thing and someone else needs to hear something else, God, you're going to custom make this word for everybody in this room in Jesus' name. I thank you for listening to the Holy Spirit, Sarah. Several of those songs fit right. Usually do, you know, when somebody's listening to the Lord. So can I read you some lyrics of a song? Guess I can, right? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you because he has anointed you to preach good news. I'm speaking to y'all. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you because he has anointed you to preach good news. He has sent you to the poor to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring freedom to the captives and to release the ones in darkness. By the way, that's a song, but that's also scripture. That's Isaiah, what, 61, right? That's a promise to those who believe, right? This is the year of the favor of the Lord. This is the day of the vengeance of our God. This is the year. It is the favor of the Lord. This is the year of the favor of the Lord. I should get you to sing it, Sarah. This is the year of the favor of the Lord. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us because he has anointed us to preach good news. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us because he has anointed us to preach good news. He will comfort all who mourn. This is the year. He will provide for those who grieve in Zion. This is the day. He's pouring out his oil of gladness. This is the year. Instead of mourning, we will praise. Instead of mourning, we will praise. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. It's a time to praise. It's a time to celebrate what the Lord has done and what he's doing. It's not a time to focus on what's not happening. It's not a time to focus on how bad the world is. We know that. The world knows that. But we know something bigger and better than the world. We know he has given us great and precious promises. Amen? He's given this nation perfect promises, right? He said, if my people, raise your hand if you're his people. If my people who are called by my name will what? Get upset, get scared, get afraid, buy a tank. No. I'm all for defending your family and everything, but you know what? It's a spiritual battle going on, man. There's a spiritual battle going on right now. And ain't no army in hell can overcome the church. The true church will not be overcome. The true church is arising. Amen? We need to be a part of that. Praise God. He's good. He's good. Who said all the time? Yes. And his mercy endures for a few days, for a few minutes. 10 days after you get saved, it washes away. No, forever. Even if it don't feel like it. Even if I don't feel God, he's still there. He's never left. He can't. He would have to be a liar, and that's not possible. He will never leave you or forsake you. Never, 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 never. And you felt that at one time. You felt that things were done and cooked, right? You thought you'd never have a relationship with your daughter and grandchild again. But you had a husband that was standing in the gap saying, no, 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 wait on the Lord, serve the Lord, be faithful to the Lord. Guess what? Men, sometimes you got to be the strong one. Sometimes you got to be, women, sometimes you got to be the raw. Really? That's why iron sharpens iron. And nowhere any more than marriage, right? Either iron sharpens iron in marriage or iron takes off somebody's head. I mean, one of the two things are going to happen, right? That's true. See, Donna's still got her head. I still got my head. We're good. Praise God. Some of y'all got some cuts around your neck, but praise the Lord. Hey, one scripture I was going to preach on. I'm not preaching on this today, but I want to give you this word because it's so powerful, and you know it well. It's 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. It's a foolish, stupid message, and a man dying and bleeding on the cross could do anything good, right? That's foolish to the world. But to those who are being saved, it is the power, the dunamis of God unto salvation. And it don't stop there, does it? Say, praise the Lord, it didn't stop there. He rose. He rose. Yes. Psalm 77. Would you go there, please? On your phone, on your iPad, on your even a written, praise God, paper Bible. I like hearing them pages. Everybody got it? I'm gonna read. I really was going to pull two verses out, but I want it to be totally in context. It's some powerful scripture. I want you to get this. This is not some wimpy little, all Psalms are good and wonderful, but this one's like there's passion in what he's saying here because he's going through a really, really, really difficult time, you know. Maybe Saul tried to take his head off with a spear that day. I don't know exactly what was going on when this was written, but you could tell his heart is bleeding. I cried out to the God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. What's that mean? It means he heard me. He listened to me. So don't ever think when you cry out to the Lord, he don't hear you. Okay? He hears you. He knows your needs before you even say them, right? But he wants to hear them. He wants to hear you say it. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. Ever done that? In the day of trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. I bet you've had some of them, Chuck. My soul refused to be comforted. In other words, I'm not giving up. I'm not going to bow down. I'm going to keep crying out to the Lord. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Did you get that? I complained and my spirit was wounded. My spirit was attacked. My spirit became weak. Does that make sense? So what did he do? He complained. Y'all ever complain? Now, most of us wouldn't say, God, you. Most of us would not do that, even though I've heard people say they have done that. God, if you were really good. Have you ever heard that? Usually it's unbelievers. God, if you were really good, if. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah, what's that mean? That means listen, consider, meditate on this, man. Meditate on this verse. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times, a call to remembrance, my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. He's asking all these questions. Are you ever going to answer me, God? Are you ever going to pull me out of this pit? Is this trial ever going to end? Is this sickness ever going to be broken? Right? Whatever's going on in your life, you got to relate to this. If you don't, you haven't lived long enough. If you're blessed to live long enough, you'll feel this, okay? And I said, this is my anguish. Somebody give me the definition of anguish. Has anybody got a amplified version by any chance? I think anguish is a lot deeper than just being sad. I think it's, does anybody, I should have looked this up in the Strong's. What's that? Yours says what? Infirmity, anguish, infirmity goes along with infirmities, huh? I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary, who is so great a God as our God. You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah! The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you, and they were afraid. The depths trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Your arrows also flashed about. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, your way in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Go back to verse 11. I will remember. And I think one version says, I will recount the wonders of the Lord, the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on, and I think in King James it says muse upon, which means to. Does it in the King James? It does say muse in some translation. I can't remember where it is. But I will meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. In other words, I will remember. I will remember the wonders of the Lord. I will remember the ones. Say, I will remember the wonders of the Lord. Now say, I will to remember the wonders of the Lord. You can remember something, but you got to will yourself to do things sometimes. You know that? You got to, well, the Bible says, encourage yourself in the Lord. It means sometimes nobody's going to be there to encourage you. Sometimes you're going to be hung out all there all by yourself because you'll think, nobody understands, nobody knows what I'm going through. Guess what? There's times like that. I can think of a couple times in my life where I was like, whoa, is this ever going to end? I'm talking in Christian times. I go to bed with this on my mind, tormenting me. I wake up in the morning with this tormenting me. Have y'all ever been there? You've been there now. Praise God. You come up and get prayer, praise God. God will set you free of that. But you'll learn to war. But if you've never been through that, I hope you never do, okay? But if you live long enough, you probably will. So I will remember the wonders of the Lord. Say it again. I will remember the wonders of the Lord. You know what? When was Christmas? It was last Monday. Now, I don't know about your kids, but I was one at one time. Yeah, a long time ago. But have you ever heard a kid say a week after, I didn't get nothing for Christmas. I didn't get what I wanted. You ever heard that? Oh, some of y'all are smirking like you just said that this week. Huh? My, y'all never do nothing for me. I'm so abused. When you have done for your children, parents, when you've done great things for your children, you've sacrificed for your children, you've went out of your way for your children, you've fed them, you've clothed them, you even try to buy them expensive tennis shoes, whatever's going on, you've done everything you can do to make them pleased. And they go, you never do nothing for me. I'm going to tell you what that makes you feel like. I wasn't going to say that, but y'all never do that, parents. How do you think God feels when he's done some wonderful things in your life and all you ever do is complain about what's not taken care of? No difference. Spoiled children, both of them. I've been spoiled children in my Christian walk. I try not to, but sometimes that must just be like vomit, you know. But praise God for his great love. You know, he's like a daddy. He's like mom and dad. You know, he'll say, well, you know, they'll grow up someday. Praise God. No, I'm not going to spoil them. This trial could get over a lot easier. You really don't have to go through this, child, all of this. You don't have to go all the way through it. And again, it said to recount the wonders, to remember the wonders of the Lord. And when we do that, something happens. Praise. When praise goes forth, the blessings come down. When praise goes forth with an honest heart, the joy comes back. I keep picking on you, young lady, but I'll tell you what, she was, I'm not saying nothing, nobody probably didn't notice, but you were horribly depressed, right? You didn't want to come to church. No, because I don't know why, but it was like you were broken. Right. And I noticed about, was it 3 weeks ago, she come in with joy. Nothing had changed. None of the situation had changed, but she came in with joy, and she was praising the Lord about how good he was and stuff. And look what happened. Well, like 2-3 weeks, I'm not saying we put God on a timetable, but you learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. And a lot of y'all, I've watched a lot of y'all go through trials. Y'all are wonderful. You've come out with flying colors. Most of you have. But God wants you to learn that. He wants you to recount the wonders of the Lord. He wants you to remember the wonders of the Lord yourself, you know. I remember the wonders of the Lord. Amen. I remember when I was 15 years old, hadn't stepped into sin too deep. Now they start doing it at 11 or 12, what I did at 16. But no, really. I mean, I remember I was in a revival meeting. We wouldn't call it revival now because it didn't change the whole world. But they were called revival meetings, and they used to see revival meetings used to be all over, up and down Dixie Highway where I lived out in. There was a revival, spring revival meetings. I don't know if y'all remember that, but they were going on everywhere. They didn't last 2 nights. They lasted 7 days, you know. I mean, they was every night, we're going to church, we're going to church, we're going to church, we're going to church. And I was sitting in there one night, goofing off with my friends, and, you know, like, well, you know, I'll be glad when this is over. I never see that here, but, you know, I'll be glad. Man, I want to get out of here. I got things I want to do. I want to play my cell phone. No, wait, we didn't have cell phones. I wanted to do something. But anyway, I remember this evangelist, his name was Tony Fontaine, and he had sung a song by Hank Williams, Cold, Cold Heart, and he was Italian. He had the pointed boots on, and he dressed real nice. He had a vest, I mean, just slick back black hair, and he would just be preaching, and he would go, run, and he'd just start singing. You know, I'm like, whoa, this is weird. My friend and me, we'd get laughing, man. But he started talking. He started preaching about how God had delivered him from alcohol and drugs, and something happened to me, and I knew that God was calling my name, even though I hadn't fell far away from God. I knew he was calling my name. And I responded that night, and I gave my heart to Jesus. I got baptized back 12 years old, I think it was. They didn't call it confirmation, but they taught you about what all these terms meant, repent and da-da-da-da-da-da. And I always wanted to get water baptized because I thought it was so cool. We didn't really get baptized. We got some water dripped on our head. But anyway, it worked. But when I come to know Jesus, it was like, wow, this is awesome. And I was on fire. I was inside. I was burning. I wasn't going out witnessing to everybody. But for me, things had changed, you know. Things were different. And then I turned about 16, and then I'm not even going to go into that testimony, but I started hanging around with people and doing things I never dreamed I'd do, and it got worse and worse and worse and worse. And till Donna and I was about 29 years old. In fact, before that, I can remember one day, I said to God, God, you know what? I can't do this right now. I got things I want to check out. Honest, I said this. So I'll see you again someday. That was pretty arrogant, wasn't it? I'll see you again someday. Of course, I've told y'all before, I figured I'd be about 80. I'd done get all my kicks out, and there wouldn't be no fun left anyway. I'd just get ready to go to heaven. But God had other plans. And I knew what the cost was, just like y'all know what the cost is. Everything. That's what he wanted from me. But I was ready to give it, see. And boy, what freedom you get when you say, I'm finished, God. I give up. I surrender. My life's going nowhere. Don't care where you take me, God. Just take me. And when I did that, man, it was like, wow. Release. Freedom. I'm recounting the wonders of the Lord. He gave me back my life, which I didn't deserve. You know, Jesus said it's better for you never even to start building a house unless you're going to finish it. I guess he knew it was just a gap in building of about 15 years, but he allowed me to live and go against his will and sin and do all kinds. He allowed me to do that, and he waited for me. He waited patiently for me. So God is good, and God is patient, and God is kind, and God is merciful. But there is a day when a merciful God will be a severe judge. So you can't play that out because it happened to Mark. Don't mean it'll happen to you. You might not get 15 years. You might not get 5 seconds. But he was good and wonderful to me, and I'm just recounting the wonders of the Lord. I'm recounting the wonders of the Lord, going to a little Methodist church right here. You can look at it. It's the most beautiful little church, white postcard. If it's snowing, and you made a picture of this, it'd be a postcard. Beautiful little Methodist church. That's what I grew up in, a Methodist church, so that's what I went to when I got saved. We went there, and one day, David was approaching teenage years, and we told the pastor, I love Reverend Powell, man. He was an awesome man of God. Awesome man of God. Full of love, full of Jesus. And Donna, we went to him one night. We went to a prayer meeting. We got there a little early, and we said, hey, you know, Pastor, our son, he really needs some Christian influence. He needs a youth group. And he said, I agree. He said, won't you and Donna start one? I'm thinking, no way, I don't know nothing. But my head's going, okay. And I won't go into any of that, but I'm remembering the wonders of the Lord. He took us right out of the craziness of what we were living in and took us into ministry. Then we started, I remember the wonders of the Lord. We used to have Friday night meetings. We used to have Friday, and we didn't dare call it church. We thought that was too sacred to even call something church. But we had Friday night meetings, and we called it adult youth group. And we just got together, and we worshiped, and somebody played the guitar and led worship, and we'd have a little Bible teaching, and God would move. And it just, the wonders of the Lord, I'm telling you, is wonderful. And then one day we decided the living room wasn't big enough. We needed to convert the loft of the barn it was just the wonders of the Lord. He did amazing things. You know what I heard? You know why we got run out of our barn, don't you? Why? Because it burnt to the ground. Suddenly. And then we were thrown into the most beautiful facility in all of southern Indiana. It was called the Optimist Club. No, we were Friday nights, the Christian church, praise God, they allowed us to come in there and have our Friday night services. Wasn't that a wonder of the Lord? That's a wonder. They came to us and said, would you like, and they don't, you know, I couldn't believe it. And I remember the pastor came to me and said, y'all can speak in tongues or do whatever you want to do. He said, oh, never mind, I won't go there, but that's been a long time ago. Anyway, I heard something at the town board meeting the other night. Guess what's getting ready to happen to the Optimist Club? The fire department are going to have an exercise and burn it to the ground. I'm thinking, there's something spiritual here going on, you know. So I invite you, when I find out when the date is, you can come watch it burn. You probably thought about it burning lots of times when you were sitting in there on that old rotten floor and stuff. Praise God for it, though. I'm telling you about the wonders of the Lord. He is so good. Amen? We was getting kind of dry and dusty one time around 1996, and Donna and I got kidnapped and taken to Pensacola, Florida. We got kidnapped to go to the great revival going on in Pensacola. And I'm fighting all the way. I'm like, this ain't God, because they were playing these videos on the way down, and it's all these ladies going, ah! I'm like, no, this ain't me, God. I don't even want to go there. But I'm in Alabama by now, so. I'd love it now, but at the time, I wasn't there. And the tape goes on a little bit further. There was one of them conversion vans that had to, I was in the front seat, so I didn't have to watch it, but Donna did. And I heard this guy start preaching. I leaned my seat back. I'm going, oh, my gosh, this is awesome. It was Steve Hill preaching. I'm like, oh, my gosh, listen to this evangelist's heart. Yes, I'm glad we're going. And we got there, and worship lasted 2.5-3 hours. Well, first you had to get in line and wait to get in out in the hot sun. But anyway, worship lasted a long time, and then testimonies lasted a long time. And it was all good, and like time was just moving. I remember Ted Blatz. He's a guy that was in on the conspiracy to get us down there. He said, come here, Pastor. And they started praying for everybody. And you ever been to Toronto? They got a line. They got lines on the carpet, and it gives you about 6.5 feet for falling out, okay? So it's orderly. But Brownsville, no. People are falling under the benches and the doorways. It's just like body. It looked like a bomb goes off in there. I mean, it was amazing. And I'm like, whoa. And he said, come on, Pastor. And he went right up to Steve Hill, and he said, my pastor needs prayer. He said, do you? I said, well, yeah. Bam! And I laid on the floor and I cried and I laughed at the same time. I've never done that in my whole life for about 30 minutes and everything changed. I'm telling you about the wonders of the Lord. That anointing came back. Praise God. Everybody in the church fell out that Sunday morning. Never had happened before. I'm telling you about the wonders of the Lord. I'm not looking back like, oh boy, we want Brownsville again. No. Yeah, I did for a long time. I don't want Brownsville no more. It's good. I want him to do what he wants to do, but I want to see everybody walks in here sick go out healed. I want to see legs grow. I want to see the blind see. I want cancer to fall off in Jesus' name. I want to see people who are destitute prosper, God. I want to see all the good things of God fall. I'm not complaining. I'm telling you is what I'm after. If you're not after that, I want it. Nobody's going to get my crown. I'm not giving it up. No. God is good. We got to remember the wonders of the Lord. Remember what it felt like when you were full of sin. Remember what it felt like when you were filthy and dirty and you couldn't be cleansed and you couldn't get the scum off of you that you put on yourself by the world. Remember that. And then remember when the Lord, the blood of Jesus, just shoo, you were brand new. You were brand new. Think about that. I know this is probably politically correct, but I've told girls, ladies before, I've said, you know what? You can be a virgin again. You can be a virgin again spiritually. You can be just as clean as, you know, and you can, man. You just become new. Amen? Remember that. If you've had a born-again experience, remember that. If you don't have something to remember, you need to get a born-again experience. Because that's where it all starts, man. You can't skip to the Holy Ghost. You got to get washed in the blood. You got to repent of your sins. But God is so, so, so good. So good. You know, the things I've been telling you about. Ever been to Washington, D.C., anybody? Ever been there? Everywhere you go is a memorial. There's a Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. There's a Lincoln Memorial. There's a Washington Monument. They're everywhere you look. Everywhere is a monument to something great that happened in this country. The children of Israel, when they crossed through the river dried up and they walked across the river that dried up, it said they took 12 stones and they built an altar at the bottom of that river. And then when the water came back in, it's still there, I'm sure. But there's memorials. We need memorials to the Lord. We need to remember the things. We need to set up places. You know, Missy, if you ever get down again in your whole life, I'm not speaking that on you, but you can go, I remember what the Lord did. I remember. I remember Ben. I remember what God did for Ben when he was in youth group. Man, that's getting us old, brother. That's been a long time ago. I remember. I remember watching young people on fire for Jesus. I can remember them wanting to change the world. Then maybe you see them 10, 15, 20 years later, and it's like, what happened to you? The fire's still there. But you got to stoke it up. Amen? What was that? Go to Psalm 107 and we'll close. But if you need prayer, I want you to be sure to get prayer this morning. I want everybody here to come up here and thank the Lord for what he's done just with a thankful heart. You can speak it out loud. You can just, you don't have to worry about anybody around you, but just come speak the wonders of the Lord that he has done for you. Speak the wonders of the Lord. Speak the praises. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. He wants you to come inside, man, that sanctuary, that holy city, New Jerusalem, inside of you, praise God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say it. I'm redeemed, hallelujah. I'm forgiven, I'm washed, Jesus. Come on, scream it out.
I'm redeemed.
By what? What are you redeemed by? The blood of the Lamb, praise God. Okay, that's probably a little bit too loud and boisterous. Let me say it like Marilyn Hickey.
Say it. Say it. I'm redeemed. Say it. Say it. Say it. I'm redeemed. Say it. Praise God.
I like her too, by the way. I'm not making fun of her. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom he has redeemed from what? The hand of the enemy. Remember, you got an enemy. He hates you. Gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north, from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way, and they found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Ever felt like that? Then they got this revelation. This pity party's got me nowhere but deeper, right? Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Listen, I love this verse. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul. He satisfies your soul, man. He's the only thing that can. He fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. I'm going to stop there. Jesus, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you. Just start telling him you love him. Jesus, we love you, Lord God. You are good, you are good, you are good, and your mercy endures forever, Jesus. You are good, you are good, you are good. Stand up, please. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to give you an opportunity, the greatest opportunity of a lifetime. And there's a saying that says, see, the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during the lifetime of that opportunity. In other words, you got to grab it while it's hot. You got to grab it. You know, people think you can get right with God anytime you want. Not unless the Holy Spirit's drawing you. You cannot make up a day. Oh, I'm coming to the Lord today. Not unless the Holy Spirit's drawing you. So right now, in the mighty, mighty, mighty name of Jesus, God, I break every chain. I break every high thing that exalts it. Shut up, boys. Every high thing that exalts itself against the kingdom of God. I come against every demonic spirit in the name of Jesus. I bind you enemy. I bind you shame. I bind you fear in the name of Jesus. I come against every high thing that would exalt itself against your nature, Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Right now, release them. Loose them, loose them, loose them, loose them right now. If you need Jesus to forgive you and wash you, come up here right now. Come up here right now. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just kneel at that altar. We'll pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? I need Jesus. I need to get back where I need to be with Jesus. Come on. Come on. Come on. I need to get back. I've been in a far country. I've been in a far journey. I've been faking it. I want to be real for you, God. Is that anybody here? Jesus. Yes, Lord, I want the real thing. I want the real thing. Come on up here right now. If there's sickness in you or your family, sickness, and we want to break it in Jesus' name. Come on, let's go against that thing in Jesus' name. I can do that myself. Yeah, you can do it yourself, but two or more of us agree on anything on earth, we'll believe it's done in heaven in Jesus' name. Come on, come on, come on. Let somebody lay. If you're sick, come up here. If you can't feel like standing, come up here and sit. Let people lay hands on you that believe God's a healer. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come here and surround Laura right now. Come on in and surround her right now in Jesus. Come on, believers. You believe God's a healer. You believe God can take care of this stiffness, that God can take care of these legs and feet. If you believe that with all your heart, get up here and pray. Pray. I mean pray and go after it. Don't be shy. If you just need the Holy Spirit right now, listen, guys, if you need to thank the Lord, if you need to thank Him for what He's done, if you need to come up here and just bow and give Him thanks and remember the wonders of the Lord and say it out loud to Him, tell Him what you're thankful for. Tell Him out loud. God will hear you. Lord, I bless this congregation, God, that loves you. I bless them going out. I bless them coming in. I bless them with the presence of God. I bless them with an anointing, God, a powerful anointing that will last till Jesus returns, God. Lord, move mightily, Lord Jesus. Move mightily, Lord Jesus. Shekete korasatate. Sirabakorabasananananane korarabade. I feel like I think somebody's being drawn away by a relationship. A relationship. May not even be an ungodly relationship, but it's something that's drawn you away from the best of God. If that's you, come up here. Don't even have to know. Just come up here and spend time with the Lord and ask Him what the priority of His heart is for you. Like lightning, God. Like lightning, Jesus. Flow like a river. You are good, Lord.